Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, one and all, in here, out there, all around the world, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And folks, thank you, Father. Please, thank you, Padre. Folks, I gotta say, I feel young today, as I do every day because I wear makeup. But even more so because earlier today, President Biden welcomed a special guest to the White House, former President Barack Obama, who got a standing ovation. That must be nice. Wish I knew what that felt like. Then hopefully they locked the doors to keep him in. You can come out after the midterms. This is a pretty big moment, actually, because Obama was back in the White House for the first time in 5 years. He was there to promote Obamacare and to get that pack of smokes he forgot in the Lincoln bedroom. Don't tell Michelle. Obama opened his speech memorably.
Vice President Biden, Vice President. That was a joke.
It's funny. I'm not sure if I buy that was a joke. I think he went up there and the first thing he said was a gaffe. He and Biden have more in common than we thought. Obama explained that this was an unusual day for him.
Coming back, even if I have to wear a tie, which I very rarely do these days.
Yes, from what I've seen of your retirement, Mr. President, you rarely wear a tie or a shirt. Then he looked back at what it took to get the Affordable Health Care Act going.
Republicans tried to repeal what we had done. They tried explicitly to make it harder for people to sign up for coverage. And let's face it, it didn't help that when we first rolled out the ACA, the website didn't work. That was not one of my happiest moments.
Remember when America's biggest problem was that there was a website that took a while to load, but then when it did, you got health care?
Yes, we can.
Then President Biden got his turn to reminisce.
Mr. President, welcome back to the White House, man. Feels like the good old days. Being here with you brings back so many good memories. We just had lunch together, and we weren't sure who was supposed to sit where.
He's joking, obviously, but it still must be nice that Biden no longer has to sit at the vice president's table. Supposedly, word was that Obama was supposedly there just to celebrate President Biden signing an executive order to expand coverage under the Affordable Care Act. But a lot of people are speculating that Obama was really there because Biden is falling in the polls and Democrats are looking for a spark. Okay, I understand that theory, but isn't that like trying to get the spark going with your wife by inviting her sexy old boyfriend that broke up with her at your anniversary dinner? Hey, look who's here, honey. Look who's here. Look who I invited. It's Brad. You liked him. I know you liked him because sometimes you even yell his name out at surprising moments. Is this getting you going? Sing some Al Green, Brad. He paddleboards. Hey, speaking of Washington, you guys remember the Supreme Court? Well, turns out Ketanji Brown Jackson is on a clear track to be confirmed later this week as the Supreme Court's 116th justice. And its first black woman. That is fantastic. but I can't believe she's out of committee already. We never even found out if she likes beer. It became clear that Jackson would be confirmed when she got public endorsements from Republican Senators Susan Collins, Mitt Romney, and Lisa Murkowski. And I'm being told all three of them have now been censured by the Republican Party, and Murkowski is being primaried in Alaska by the QAnon polar bear. Another kind of silly to see a bear. It's a bear with a fur hat on. Kind of weird to see a bear with a hat on.
Right.
Another Republican who has flirted with the idea of being reasonable is Missouri Senator and off-duty joker Roy Blunt. On this week's This Week, Blunt said this about Judge Jackson.
She's certainly qualified. I think she's got a great personality. I think will be a good colleague on the court.
Oh, great. So she's got your support.
I won't be supporting her.
What? You just said she's certainly qualified. I'd hate to see this guy's Yelp reviews. Great food, impeccable service, wonderful atmosphere, burn it to the ground. Then. Then Blunt demonstrated true bipartisanship by trying to have it both ways.
She's certainly going to be confirmed. I think it'll be a high point for the country to see her go on the court and take her unique perspective to the court. I won't be supporting her, but I'll be joining others in understanding the importance of this moment.
No, no, no. You don't get to say you understand anything if you're actively fighting against that thing. There's a reason. There is a reason. There's a reason Avengers Endgame didn't look like this.
I understand the importance of this moment. Iron Man was right the whole time. Bye!
While some Republicans have broken ranks to support soon-to-be Justice Jackson, they are fully united against what they say is the real threat to America, cartoon rodents making your children gay. You see, Disney spoke out against Florida's stupid and hateful Don't Say Gay bill. So now, what's happening is, in response, Florida Republicans have put Disney in their sights like it was Bambi's mom. This week, I know, it's sad, isn't it? Have you not? Did you not know what happened in that movie? Spoiler. This weekend, the Disney Corporation got a threat from Florida GOP lawmaker and stand-up saying, this guy knows what I'm talking about, to a guy who does not know what he's talking about, Anthony Sabatini. Sabatini warned Disney that thanks to their opposition to the Don't Say Gay bill, they should get ready to experience living hell, otherwise known as the line for Belle's Castle. Even once you're in there, you gotta sit in the library for 20 minutes before you can take a picture with her. They said, be our guest. That talking candle is a liar. Lumiere! The cup's name is Chip. Sabatini has a specific type of hell in mind. He wants to take away Disney's special tax privileges as well as the company's ability to act with the same authority and responsibility as a county government. Now, wait a second. Disney has to have the same authority as a government. How else can they arrest and jail the little-known eighth dwarf, Stabby? So, this, it's Florida. You know there's a Stabby. There's a Stabby, there's a Methy, there's an Arsony. So this Florida guy is threatening to punish Disney for supporting LGBTQ rights. Republicans say they're against cancel culture, but now they're trying to cancel what they call a woke company whose core message, I will remind you, is it's okay to kiss women while they're in a drug-induced stupor. The Florida, fine, it's fine. Show it to the kids, let the kids watch. If the Florida war on Disney has reached all the way up to Congress, it has reached up there. Not if, it has. With Matt Gaetz tweeting, things that scare Disney, municipal disillusion, copyright expiration, combined reporting. Another thing that scares Disney, Matt Gaetz within 50 yards of the teacup ride. Speaking. Just full applaud. Speaking of fighting behemoth corporations, Amazon. This past Friday, Amazon workers in New York City voted to form the first U.S. union. That is, hell yes. Hell yes.
Fight the power.
That is great news. That's fantastic. And Amazon is now going all out to make sure it never happens again. Leaked documents show they're planning a new messaging app for their employees, which would ban words that pertain to organizing a union, including unfair, injustice, ethics, diversity, fairness, pay raise, and phrases like this is dumb or this is concerning. What? But if you can't say this is dumb, how are they supposed to describe this hat? The app. The app essentially censors anything that's controversial on Amazon, including the word restroom, which, you know, may not be missed. Many Amazon workers are more familiar with the phrase empty Powerade bottle or on Bezos's grave. If this app, if this app does launch, it'll be hard for Amazon employees to openly criticize their conditions. But as a South Carolinian, I've got a workaround. It's called being Southern. Meet me over at the Southern Hospitality Cam. Amazon, you're trying to keep workers from talking to each other about things like restrooms, ethics, and pay raises? Bless your heart. It's not. It's not your fault you weren't raised right. What you're doing isn't wrong. It's just so unique. And don't worry about the size of your spaceship. Some people like small rockets, okay? Okay? Hey, I'll pray for you.
More Late Show Poncho after this.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, right here, my hand. I got the cards talking to the guests tonight. I got two amazing guests tonight. You're not going to see these people anywhere else tonight. The wonderful, the talented Oscar Isaac is here tonight. From the new Disney Plus show, Moon Knight. But before we do any of that, I wanna. There's one thing I gotta do. I've wanted to do for days now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Jon Batiste. Please come on over here, my friend. Hey, man, it's good to see you again. How was your weekend?
Oh, my goodness.
Let me remind the people what happened. On Sunday night, you won Best American Roots Performance, Best American Roots Song, Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media for Soul, Best Music Video for Freedom, and the Big Kahuna Album of the Year for We Are.
We did it. We hit them. There it is. We hit them. We got them rolling.
So, take me through the day. So, like, 8 of your categories were pre-broadcast,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. So, tell me that afternoon.
Well, we were late.
You were late for the ceremony.
We were late for the ceremony. Mm-hmm. In the pre-broadcast.
And you had a bunch of family with you, right?
Yes. My whole family was there. My grandfather was with me. He's almost 90. He's 89 years old. Mm-hmm. And my my dad, my mom, my nephews, my sister, my friend Ryan, who executive produced the record with me, Jacob, Ryan's wife Amanda, and a bunch of other people who I don't quite know very well.
But who are going to say they know you very well now.
Definitely. They were hanging out. It was a whole bunch of people in the room all the time. And so I had rehearsal because we were performing then. They didn't really work it out for you if you have 11 nominations, because if you're performing, you have to rehearse and you have to sound check, and then you have wardrobe for that. And then that's the same time as the pre-telecast, where 8 of the nominations were. And then they wanted me to do all this stuff on the red carpet, and you got to be there during the time that the pre-telecast is ending. Right.
They didn't plan for that because there was no one else for whom they had to plan that, John. You were the only one with 11 nominations. You can't expect them to change the whole day.
But it was a whole lot of, you know.
All right. I want to get to the moment, though. Okay, so then you won those four of those 8 in the pre.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then you get to the broadcast, and as I was saying last night on the show with Lewis, is that Evie and I are watching it all night. We're like, oh, he lost that first one. Oh, damn, he lost that next one.
Yes.
And then Album of the Year comes along, and it's not only the people you've already competed against,
yes,
but they toss in all kinds of other people in there. Like, let's throw the Beatles in, and Bruce Springsteen, and Duke Ellington, and the guy who invented sound, whatever. And we're like, hey, listen, he's fantastic, but I don't see how. But then this is what happens.
And the Grammy goes to We Are Jean-Baptiste!
That's extraordinary. So what's going on in that moment? The most surprised person in that room might be you.
Oh yeah.
What's going on in your mind and your heart at that moment?
Man, it's so much. I'm still processing it. First off, the fact that my family is there to witness that is incredible. It's incredible. Just so much went into that moment. Piano lessons, civil rights marches, all kinds of just like, this is an incredible moment. And just so much. But then, so that happened. But then I was also coming off the high of the performance, which I was so focused on that performance. We started rehearsing for that on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time it was done, there was like 20 minutes left in the show.
Wow. Yeah.
So
you could have ended the show right there. It would have been a great show. You burned it to the ground.
Oh, man. I was having a good time. And I changed clothes because I sweated through those clothes, and I had my cloak. And I was just like, I was planning on just sitting there in a vibe. And and then I seen Uncle Lenny come up there. And he said, he was like, I think he had to know. I'm gonna ask, because he kept looking at me. He was sitting right in front of me. It was so surreal. And then my mom's like, you got this one. I'm like, yeah, mom.
Mom, say that.
Yeah, mom, say that.
Mom, say that, sure, yeah.
She was like, no, I love that album. I was like, yeah, me too. So, and then Phineas and Billy, they turned around and they're like, we really hope you win this one. And because it was almost like a pod over the week, and they were so nice, and everybody was so supportive. The energy was so supportive. I was like, well, at least everybody's gonna be on a good vibe. Whoever wins will be all just clapping for this person. It won't be me. And then they said, we are, and the people were so loud. It was so loud that I almost didn't really know it was me, because it didn't say my name until after the title.
Right.
I was like, maybe that's somebody else's album that sound like We Are. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Like,
I know.
It was like,
no.
But that was it.
Yeah. I was afraid he was going to say John Oliver. Because I hear that all the time. I hear that every year.
Not last year.
No, I understand. I understand. Okay, so what did you do afterwards? Tell me about you get the thing, you give a beautiful speech.
Yes.
About how your music is a spiritual exercise for you. It's incredibly loving. Then, I know you don't drink, so how'd you go celebrate? Did you go play music?
You know what, I went to eat some food, And I was so tired in the middle of the meal that I left after eating the first half and went to bed.
Good for you. Good for you.
Went to bed.
That's a long career. That's a long career right there.
I don't party like that.
We got to go to the second, but before we do that, I just want to say also, and more importantly, really, ultimately more importantly, congratulations on your beautiful marriage to your beautiful and talented wife, Zuleika Jawad.
Yes!
Look at that. I got a lot. That's nice.
That's best. That is best.
We had a lot of private conversations about that.
We did.
We had. They really helped me.
Oh, really helped me. I'm glad.
And what we're going through is such the opposite of the lights and the camera and the glitz of, you know, everything in the business.
But it's built on the same foundation, mm-hmm. which is your love for each other.
That's right. Yes.
And that is how they're the same.
Yes.
And that's how all things are the same.
Love.
All things are one.
Yes.
and music runs through it.
Yes.
Hey, do you guys need anything? Are you registered anywhere? Do you need like a crock pot or a butter dish or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, we need all of that. We do. We need all of that. You know, we just got a place. So we got to fill it up.
Yeah.
It's empty.
It is.
You get the place and you work so hard to get a place, the American dream, and then it's empty. So then you
got
to go.
It's not empty. It's got some Grammys.
Up next, Oscar Isaac.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, you know my first guest tonight is an actor from Inside Llewyn Davis, Star Wars, and Dune. He now stars in Marvel's new series, Moon Knight.
Steven, you gotta give me control. It's the only way. You're gonna die, Steven. You're not gonna die. Let me save us.
Welcome back to The Late Show, Oscar Isaac.
John Batiste, man! My fellow Juilliard, man, congratulations, dude.
Isn't that lovely?
Oh, so good.
Well, hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
Haven't had you on here since 2017. Was that the last time?
Yeah.
Something I said?
Feels like just like yesterday.
I did? Well, the reason I bring it up is that I haven't had a chance to talk to you on camera about Dune. And congratulations on six Oscars for Dune.
Thank you. Last Sunday. Amazing. Yeah.
Now,
you're a Dune head, right?
I'm a huge Dune head. Well, you know, Warner Brothers called me to do the press tour for you guys. And I said, sure, in the middle of COVID, why not? I'm a huge fan. It's an amazing, I told Denis, it's a perfect adaptation.
Yeah.
And now, but the thing is that, spoiler alert, you're not in the sequel. Not even a sequel, it's just part two. It's not even a sequel. How do you feel like you're missing out here?
Dad's dead, baby, dad's dead. I know, it's a bummer, because I'm like, maybe some flashbacks or some force ghosts, but that's not that one.
They don't do force ghosts over there. You could, you know what, Javier Bardem invited me to go to the set.
Did he?
And I told Denis, I'm gonna be in part two, because once I get in a still suit, how will you know?
No, you won't know. It's
true. Just you and me, just getting some still suits.
Just getting some still suits with some masks. And
I could pass as a Fremen.
Yeah, totally.
They've got to have some pear-shaped Fremen.
Thick Fremen.
Now, I understand that you actually gave a gift. You snuck a gift to Denis. Before I show people this photograph, which is quite a photograph, can you explain what's happening here and how this gift came about?
So it's the last. Day of shooting for me, and the last thing I did was my spoiler alert death scene, where Duke Leto is sprawled out naked in front of the Baron before he's killed, and thank you, and and in order to to be modest, you're supposed to wear a modesty sock for a man, you know,
yes.
A modesty sock.
Yeah,
it covers your genitalia.
Sure,
it's also called the sock, but I feel like. Maybe that's not the... Whatever.
That's also quite delicate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards, it was... I finished. And the scene, I finished the scene. And I wanted to say bye to Denis, but he was off directing or doing something. And he had his jacket there, so I just left him a little present to remember me by. To remember my musk.
And then he later...
And then he later... I got an email later in the night... And it was this picture of him.
There.
And yeah. It covers the royal member.
And then, do you know what became of it eventually?
Well, actually, we did a Q&A at MoMA, and it was he and I, and we were talking, and then in the middle of him saying something, he pulled out this little plastic bag of this stiff little modesty sock in a bag and said, I still have it here, and then MoMA asked to put it in their collection.
Seriously?
According to Denis, I don't know
if... Your modesty sock is now a national treasure.
Well, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now,
can I say one thing real quick?
Of course you can.
Just something that the first thing that I did when I got cast as Duke Leto is I reached out to the late, great William Hurt.
Oh, wow.
And because he had played Duke Leto in 2000.
Oh, what a wonderful idea.
And so I reached out to him because we did a film together ages back, and he's just so amazing. And I got to show this stuff to you. It's just long text about the philosophy around Dune, about what Duke Leto represents as far as ethics and nobility.
Sure, yeah.
It was just the most beautiful, beautiful thing. And so I miss him dearly. So I just wanted to, I've never said that to anybody.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Well, we have to take a break, but when we come back, I will ask Oscar about his new series, Moon Knight.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Mr. Oscar Isaac, you've got this unique place in nerd fandom, and that is... You've been the Star Wars sequels, Dune, and you've been in Marvel twice now. This is your second Marvel foray. So obviously, the game we need to play is, let's say, screw, marry, kill, Star Wars, Dune, Marvel. No pressure.
Dang. Mm-hmm. What do you think, John?
That's tough.
That's
man.
A tough one, right?
I don't know how we're gonna get that.
Well, you know what? No, it's not that tough, because it's like Dune killed me. So I'm gonna kill Dune.
That's nice. Right?
Yeah. Kill Dune.
Yeah.
Star Wars, I'm gonna screw with Star Wars.
Wow.
And I'm gonna marry Moon Knight right now, because who knows where that's gonna go, you know?
Seems like a healthy relationship. I've seen it so far.
So.
I've seen one episode so far, and it's just
I'm gonna say
fantastic.
Make love to Star Wars. Let's say make love to Star Wars, gently.
Sure. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't sound like Poe.
He has a sensitive side.
He's the most daring fighter pilot in the galaxy.
Not in the bedroom.
All right. Okay, new Marvel series, Moon Knight. For those people out there who don't, it's not one of the most well-known characters up till now.
No.
Explain to the people who Moon Knight is.
Okay, oh boy. All right, so I play a guy named Stephen Grant, who describes himself as a gift shoppist. Mm-hmm.
He's a Brit.
He's a Brit. He works at a gift shop in a museum in London. And he's desperate for connection with people. He's a bit awkward, a bit introverted. He's a tender person, but he's also suffering from sleepwalking, he believes, blackouts, memory loss, and he discovers that he's suffering from dissociative identity disorder, and he is sharing his body with an ex-mercenary named Mark Spector, who also happens to be in the service of an Egyptian deity. That old story, you know?
Exactly. Now, Marvel is notoriously secretive. Thank you for sharing everything you have so far. Are you, Star Wars, of course, obviously very secretive, too.
Yeah.
Are you good at secrets? Can you keep secrets?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got some dark secrets. No, but, with this one, with the Marvel one, I was an executive producer on it. So it was an incredibly collaborative experience.
So you are the one threatening you not
I'm
to say anything.
I'm the one that's threatening everyone
that's
else.
That's a form of dissociative disorder. The guy in the mirror is going, don't you dare.
Don't you do it.
Your character, as you said, struggles with mental health, dissociative identity disorder. Did you know anything about that before doing Moon Knight, or was this all just research?
Yeah, I didn't. Just, in the kind of sensationalist way that it's been presented mostly in fiction.
Like multiple personalities,
Sybil,
stuff like that.
Yeah, Sybil, or, different movies. And oftentimes, it's the villain that's just kind of wild and crazy or whatever. And often it's used with violence. But doing a deep dive into it, I realized that it was a chance to actually talk about how the human mind is its own superpower. There's this thing that happens when someone at a very young age goes through incredible abuse and trauma, and the brain can fracture in order to help that child survive.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible. And that this was a chance on this massive stage to talk about something that's really heavy and difficult, but also kind of beautiful, and to make everything that you see, even the most fantastical elements, be an outward expression of that internal struggle.
This is one of the amazing things that these, especially the Marvel series, is able to do by, dipping deeply into these mental states. WandaVision is about grief.
About grief, yeah.
What do you do with that kind of trauma, that kind of loss?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's...
We wouldn't expect it from this genre, but if you actually, read the Marvel comic books... There's a lot of that.
They use that, much like Greek theater used to use gods to tell stories that are very human. We use these modern-day myths to talk about real things.
You have a pretty good scene partner in this series and in several of the scenes that I saw, which is you. You're acting with yourself.
Right.
You get to act with Oscar Isaac.
I mean...
Come on.
How lucky am I, right?
But you had some real... You had some help that we didn't know about.
No,
who was actually being you in some of these scenes?
Well, that's the thing. So when I read the script, I'm like, I'm going to have to act with myself. Like, how are we going to do this? And I thought, well, I know somebody who is an amazing actor and also shares my DNA, which is my brother. So my brother, Michael Hernandez, yes.
Younger? Older?
He's my younger brother. Younger brother. My little baby brother. And he came with me to Budapest where we shot this. And he was on set every single day. And sometimes you can kind of see that it's his shoulder,
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was there. He was in it with me. And so it was kind of amazing to be able to do that with him.
Did you, get the same haircut and the same beard?
Yeah, he even got, a fake nose put on because he's got a smaller little nice nose. And I got my big schnoz.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We have to take a quick break, but stick around. We'll be right back with more Oscar Isaac, everybody.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. We're back here with the star of Moon Knight, Oscar Isaac. Now, you were shooting this, Budapest and Jordan, right?
Yeah, we shot mostly, it was like 7 months in Budapest, and then a couple weeks in Jordan, in the same desert where we shot Rise of Skywalker and Dune. The Wadi Rum Desert.
Wadi Rum is like, that's your old home.
I mean, that's my stomping ground, yeah.
Wow, how sandy? How sandy are we talking here? Did you
Ver every crevice.
That's good. Do you still find some souvenirs?
Yeah. There's always some crumbs around.
I hear Budapest is a lot of fun. I've never been.
Beautiful.
Fantastic
yeah.
bars, like these things called ruin bars, where you go to these places that are actually like still bombed out from World War II that
yeah.
they've turned into
yeah,
bars.
Yeah, they got all these lights.
Until the
and
cops
stuff
shut them down and they move someplace
exactly,
else.
Exactly. I mean, we were there during COVID, so everything was pretty much shut down.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of a ghost town, but it was still really beautiful. Ethan Hawke, who plays the villain, he's incredible in it.
Yeah.
We would go running together and jogging.
Let me throw that there.
Yeah, there he is.
There you go. There's
the
Ethan
guy.
Right there. He is the baddie?
He's the heavy. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But you know, it's Ethan, so you're never sure because he's so charismatic.
Right. That from what the episode I've seen, I wasn't entirely sure. Thanks for the spoiler.
Oops.
But I know. He's the baddie.
Someone's got to be the baddie.
Yeah. Well, he was the baddie in Dead Poets Society too.
Was he?
No, he wasn't. Oh, this...
the captain, my captain.
He's the sensitive one.
Yeah, right.
He's the sensitive one. So okay, I understand you had particular fun one night. Was it with Ethan that you actually indulged in a little mind expansion?
Oh, right, yeah, we danced with God.
I didn't hear this part, no, but that's what I was hoping you were going to say.
It was my brother and Ethan. We were at a house, and our families had just left, and we had the weekend there, and it was at a place called Lake Balaton, which is a little outside of Budapest, so beautiful. And we got our hands on a little psilocybin, a little...
mushrooms.
Magic mushrooms.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, is that legal over there? Okay.
No.
Is it legal over here?
No.
Oh, not on CBS, but go ahead.
Is it legal in the Ed Sullivan Theater?
It is. It absolutely is.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had some mushrooms and listened to the Phosphorescent album.
Did you, like, go up to, like, a hillside, or were you...
We laid down and giggled for a long time listening to music.
Yep.
And then went to a park and played some football a little bit. And then
by football, do you mean soccer?
No, American football.
Okay.
And
you're in Budapest.
I know. But we're also high on mushrooms, so it's like.
So who knows what you were doing?
We really don't know what we were
playing.
You
could have been throwing puppies at each other.
It's true. We didn't know what we were doing.
And so you danced with God, and how did he enjoy it?
He wasn't into it. No, it's one of those things where either it's going to be fun or it's going to go really badly, and
yes.
It ended up being really, really fun.
Celebrities—they're
just like us, right?
Welcome back. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm so glad it
Thank
went
you.
Well.
You made it back.
So glad it went well.
You made it back.
Oscar, it's wonderful to see you.
Thanks. Great to see you.
I'll see you on
Great
the set of Dune Part 2.
In your still suit.
We won't tell anybody.
No, we'll just
it's
be
just
in
you and me. Javier will smuggle us in. New episodes of Moon Knight come out Wednesdays on Disney Plus. It's Oscar Isaac, everybody.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube. Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.